Chapter 3. The Dream of Constantine. Supreme God, we beseech you. We commend all justice to you. We commend our safety to you. We commend our empire to you. Through you we live. Through you we emerge victorious and fortunate. Supreme, holy God, hear our prayers. We stretch our arms to you. Listen, holy, supreme God. Via Flaminia, near Rome, October 313 CE. It is late, and the wind from the north carries the bitter taste of rain, but the emperor refuses to step from the opening to his tent. It soothes him, this hour, just to listen to the familiar sounds of an army settling in for the night, the digging of trenches and latrines, the clatter of pots and plates, the idle banter of battle-hardened men, relieved that they have made it through another day. High above, the stars are obscured by thick columns of smoke wafting up from 100 campfires, carrying the scent of rabbits, chickens, and heaven knows what else being roasted on spits. A slave brings him a cup of wine, but he waves it away. He wants to be left alone. In the distance, a cohort begins to sing one of their bawdy marching songs, full of expletives and exaggerated accounts of their conquests. He smiles. It is a good sign. Despite their battle scars and obvious fatigue, the men are in good spirits. Morale, he knows, is not a mystery. It all depends on good generalship, his generalship. Unlike other Roman commanders, he always insists on taking his forces into battle himself, usually by leading his cataphractii, his armored cavalry, into a devastating head-on attack. He'd learned such tactics while serving as a young officer in Diocletian's army. Diocletian was no friend of his family, but even the wizened old emperor was impressed with the way young Constantine led his men into the field, sending entire barbarian armies to whatever afterlife they believed in. But the morale among his general officers, well, that's another story. In a few moments, they will gather in his tent for the nightly war council.